The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening. Wow, Para-X. I kind of forgot to stop that. Whoops. That was my fault. The cue. So you're listening to the Odyssey Files, obviously. At this time on Monday night, I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. Good evening, Dave.
How are you, Mike?
Wait,
that's a loaded question. Right, because I know it was a bad day. So, yes. or maybe not a bad day, but a sad day.
Yes.
So, before you get into that, I'm just going to say I took my daughter to go see 21 Pilots last night, and I'm still jacked from all of the energy at the concert. So, I'm not getting paid by 21 Pilots, but I'm telling you what, if you want to go see a show that is going to fill your life, your energy level, like, beyond maximum, go see 21 Pilots. Phenomenal show.
I don't even know who they are. What kind of music? Obviously, like, are they like hard rock or
no? Well, you know, I love hard rock, but they are. You know, it's really hard to describe because there's only two guys, and one guy plays the drums and nothing else, and doesn't sing. That's all he does is play the drums. The other guy plays like every instrument. Ukulele to piano to bass to electric, and then they backtrack a lot, and he does all the vocals. It's only two guys, and you would never know that. If you didn't see them, you would think there's probably 8 or 10 pieces to the band. That's how amazing the size of it is.
How did that even happen?
It was like an elephant roar or something just jumped in there.
No, because, okay, so for the people who are listening, we have a guest tonight. We just haven't introduced her yet because for whatever reason, she suddenly disappeared, like hung up.
Is that what happened?
I didn't call her back and she didn't call me, so I didn't accept the call. And yet here she is.
The magic of the 21 Pilots show is still giving power and energy forth.
No,
yes, it is. If you'd have been there last night, you'd have realized what I'm talking about.
Skype's suckiness, 100%. Now it's just maybe I have that like auto accept, which I would obviously need to get rid of. I don't want to auto accept anybody.
One more quick thing, Maddie, the show kicked. I know you know it did. So she was there anyway. So how are you, Mike? Because I know it was kind of a rough day. So wait.
So you were trying to get like confirmation, like a second opinion?
Oh no.
On the show or
like, oh my God. Are you kidding me? It wasn't my choice of bands. It was her choice of bands. I'm her dad, so I went, you know? And
who doesn't want to take their dad to a concert?
Right. Exactly. Well, cool dads. I mean, you know. So She had an amazing time. She sent me a bunch of texts and a bunch of hugs and kisses while we were there, and she had an absolutely phenomenal time. So both of us had a phenomenal time together. It was really, really good. So
good. I'm glad you had fun. I was at work while you were doing that, not having fun.
No, I know. So I'm just trying to bring light to your life. I'm
giving, you're failing today.
Giving
failing. More. Nope. Failing.
Sorry. All right. Well,
it's all right.
I'm trying. It's all right.
I know. So, yeah, today was fine. I got off work early this morning so I could go to my grandmother's funeral, which I talked about last week.
Yep.
And, you know, it was fine. I asked to speak and was allowed to. I got a lot of really good compliments on it. I just wish that the turnout had been better. I thought she deserved and like had an effect on far more people, and I know she does, or does and did. But you know, with it being a Monday morning, and I don't know how good we did getting the word out to people. So, and you know, when you're 96, you pretty much outlived like everybody you know. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's tough.
But no, I got to see some family, and
good.
I got to meet some of my grandma's friends that I had not met before, and some, you know, obviously that I had. But no, it was good.
Good.
And yeah, and I went. So the about a month ago, and I'm sorry, Kim, we're going to get to you shortly. I promise you. And about a month ago, she had told me I needed to get a disposable camera, and I needed to go to all of the locations from my childhood, like my elementary school and my old house and her old house, and take photos of them and create like this. I don't want to say album, but create this like moving picture
like,
thing of
like a montage.
Life. Yeah, montage. Yeah, pretty much. Right. Yeah, like a photo montage of my life.
Right.
And I was going to do that after the funeral today, because I'm obviously not going to go to Eau Claire, which is where she's from, which is where I grew up in. And I forgot my damn camera. But I went to a place I have not been in probably, it's got to be at least 20 years, at least. Probably even longer than that. And it's right about maybe two blocks behind where I grew up, there's a creek. It's pretty good size. I mean, it's not like just Babbling Brook or anything. It's got like rapids, and it's right underneath the bridge. And of course, got all the graffiti and stuff. And I used to take like the rocks that you could write, you know, on the bridge beams and stuff like that. Of course, they're long faded now. But I went there for the first time today, went underneath the bridge and kind of just sat there for like, you know, 25 minutes or so. That was really cool. And I'm like, you know what? I got to come back. Probably not this year since it's about winter time, but it, for the most part, it was therapeutic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of my history.
Right.
And I said it exactly like that because that's a great segue into our topic for tonight, which is
bridges.
History.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
History. Well, I mean, I guess it could be. There are haunted bridges.
Yeah, right. There are haunted bridges. Absolutely.
But we have my very good friend, Kim Juarez. Did I pronounce that last name right? Okay. She's mute right now, apparently. Actually, are you? Because you're laughing and I can't hear a word you're
She's going sign language tonight.
No, I think I'm off.
Okay,
I'm
nope.
on, right?
All right. Yeah, nope, you're on. Kim Juarez from Cat Paranormal of Minnesota. And you'll have to let everybody know what cat actually stands for. It doesn't mean cat as in like a kitty cat, which I originally thought. So it does mean something paranormally wise, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But good evening, yes. Kim. Thank you for being patient with Dave and I.
Good evening. So yes, cat stands for coexisting with the afterlife team. We coexist.
which I did give you some
crap. Oh, God. You all have grief.
It starts with a C, you know, coexist.
Yeah, no, I asked her what that meant to her or something like that, and she said, well, how did you phrase it? It was like trying to communicate with the other, you know. And I was like, well, then shouldn't that be like T-Cat trying to coexist with Andrew Lyman? Yeah, sorry. I know, it was a bad joke, but...
Yeah. Yep. I expect that out of you, Mike.
As you should, and I never disappoint.
Never.
I live up to everybody's expectations. No matter how low they may be. So...
He'll get there. He will get there. You just give him a little bit of time. He will get there.
But I do give him grief as well, so I do come back. So
yes, as you absolutely should. I laughed my tail off when Dave sent me that text message that first night about it, whether I was gonna. I can't even remember exactly how you phrased it, but I know you're like you finished it off with Are you coming down here, or are you gonna stay up there like a little beep and?
And put your food in the fridge.
Yeah, that's right. I was putting my leftovers
putting your
in the fridge.
Leftovers away, yeah.
So
well, she was on a roll that night. She was looking for you, so.
Yeah, no. And rightfully so. And I know you wanted to take my own idea of the whole suck it thing to the next level, which was hilarious. I liked it.
I just can't believe we're talking about this right now.
Why?
Totally throw me off guard. Oh my God.
It's part of our history, Kim.
It's part of our history. You're right.
And history is
important. Right. It is now, right. Recent history. Yeah.
Very recent history. Right. So what brought this on, obviously what had me bring Kim on is that she is doing something that Dave and I both agree is very, very important. Kim, why don't you actually tell people what is going on tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night, I just did, when we got back from Paracon that Monday, I think that week of Monday last week, we went and did the Bailey Lure House. We investigated. And the reason why we're doing this is because I'm trying to get the message out on how important it is to keep our historics, making people aware of our historic societies. Because once those buildings are gone and, you know, it's all about right now the technology. It's all about your phone. It's all about your internet. But people don't realize that these historic societies have the real information, like real documents, real pictures, real things. I mean, you can learn anything about your history, about your town, about your place, about your business, anything. And it's so important. That's what I'm trying to make people aware of, how important our historic societies are. So we got to do our historic society, and it's called the Bailey Lure House. And it has some quite history on it. So we're doing the reveal tomorrow at the museum here in the downtown of Waseca, Minnesota. So that's what's going on. So, yeah.
So what brought, like, that kind of project up? I mean, do you feel that, I know you had mentioned to me that once historical societies are gone or they close, that all the records would be gone. Do you believe that that's where they're headed?
Well, you know, just recently, I can't remember if it was Le Sueur or somewhere around here, one of the historic societies closed up. And some of these documents, a lot of the artifacts and a lot of the stuff that they had were actually passed out. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I heard. And I just think it's so important because once the documents are put in basements, you know, in our, wherever they put them, you know, they're going to end up getting destroyed. And it's just, I'm just trying to make people aware of the original things. You know, on the internet, you're not going to get anything original. You're not going to see anything original. And then for on that case, we don't even know if half of it's true or not. So if you walk into a historic society, they're going to welcome you. You can see your documents. You can see pictures of your old house. You could see, I mean, it's so important for us as well as paranormal investigators, because we have to learn the history of people's places, because, you know, who the original owners are, all that stuff. It's just so important. I know it sounds maybe boring to other people, but I just think when you see original document of your home, or original document of a birth or death certificate, or original document of, you know, a purchase of a place, I just think it's so important. I really think it's important, you know, that we have that, and we have access to that. You know, even being a homeowner or a business owner, it's really important. And you can tell I'm a little bit passionate about it, because I think it's true. Once they're in the, you know, once stuff is gone in basements, it gets mold, it gets ruined, it gets chewed up by, you know,
rodents,
whatever is down there. Yeah. Yep. And we won't ever have access to that ever. And you can get copies, and you can get, I mean, the one here, our Historic Society, I'm going to brag a little bit, because they really helped me a lot. And they let me go into files, and they let me see things. And they even, I mean, they're so well, this one here is really well put together. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. You have to go into your museums. You got to go into your historic societies and your libraries, because they even have things that, you know, original maps. I mean, it's just great, you know. So I'm trying to keep people aware and trying to work along with my historic society that it's how important they are to us. We really need them. So
you did the Bailey, I can't pronounce the last word.
Lure house. Yes.
The Bailey Lure house.
Yep.
What kind of history were you able to find out about that, and how did that help you during the investigation?
Well, you know, on my things, I know some of the history already because I've been there so many times, and I know there was even a horse thief, and I heard that the sheriffs were coming, and I think this was the first owner, and they were coming after him because he was a horse thief, and he booked it, you know, in the back door, just left, you know. And then I found out later that another family, which is the Lures, I hope I'm getting this right, they purchased the house after that. So, and I know that they love this house because we got some really good evidence. Like, I hope we did good, and not so much in the downstairs, but we got more evidence upstairs. And it kind of, you know, I kind of go in empty, you know, I just learn a little bit about the history. But I think we really got to communicate with the Lures. So let's hope that this really worked out. So I'm hoping once I do my review tomorrow, it'll be great for people to see that. So, yeah. So, yes. And we did actually, we did ask a question, and my daughter looked it up, and we found out it was true. So I can't say it because the reveal is tomorrow. So
that's fine.
So are you saying that the answer that you got,
yes,
corroborates the
yes
the,
it does.
The question and the actual factual data that you found?
Yes, okay. It does. Good. So it was pretty amazing. So we were pretty proud of just that, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. I can tell you from my own personal experience that historical fact backing up an EVP is a rarity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's, but because most of the time it's hard to check that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will be the first to admit that I do not utilize historical societies like I should. I'm a big type it into Google, you know, and hope for the best. And It's, you know, and the thing is that I don't even know. I mean, does every county have a historical society? Because I don't even know where.
Yes.
They either did or they had. I mean, some might not be open anymore because nobody's willing to do the work or be there voluntarily because it's not a paid position. But I know, like, Chisago counties, we used to use the one all the time. It was in the oldest Queen Anne Victorian house in Chisago County. So back in the day, Steve and I used to go there all the time and look stuff up. And regretfully, they closed that location. Then they were like, they're kind of in limbo right now. And then they sold that property as a private residence. So I don't know right now if they actually have a location. If they did, I would say it's probably kind of shoved into the courthouse somewhere, you know, and you'd have to go like try and find them kind of thing in the courthouse building. But when it was in that old, in the first oldest Queen Anne in Lindstrom, it was beautiful. It was a gorgeous location. You walk in and the whole place was like mid-1800s. It was absolutely stunning. Yeah, it was really nice.
See, that's the thing. That's exactly what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Do you think that that's why they're closing? It's just nobody really wants to do it anymore?
That's what I'm assuming.
I'll give you a perfect example, right? Our great friend Gene, right? And myself, you know, for a long time, had been dealing in antiques and kind of buying and reselling and rarities and uncommon items and stuff like that. And there's just nobody interested anymore. You know, the new generation of kids, grandma and grandpa passes away, mom and dad's older, they pass away, they've got a little collection of things that they loved, like maybe antique glass or this or that. The kids don't see any value in it. They don't want it. And so there's no desire for it anymore. And the same thing's starting to happen with
because I worked at it's a neighborhood service center. And it's like a thrift store. So that was the first thing you would, you know, the younger generation come in. Grandpa just died and we don't want none of this, you know.
Yep.
And I said, well, you know, I'd be like, well, electronics. Oh, we kept those. I was right. Like, okay. But all his antiques, all his right. John Deere, all his right. things that he's collected, his old caps, they don't want them.
Nope.
Nobody wants them anymore.
Nope. Nobody wants it. It's just garbage to them. Right.
And it really is. Absolutely right.
Yeah, we're transitioning into a phase of instant gratification via the internet, and we've been going there for a while, and it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, when Apple comes out with a brand new phone that is like everybody, it sets the world on fire, and everybody is like, oh my God, they're waiting in line like it's a frenzy, like they're giving away free gold bars to the first million people that show up, right? And everybody's waiting in line to get one. And then you get it. And you're like, oh, my God, I got it. And so you go to social media and you post all your pictures of you on your phone. And you're having this amazing time showing everybody that you're cool because you got this phone. And then 8 months later, Apple says, guess what? We got a new phone. I mean, that's today's society, right? That phone, that amazing phone, should last for 10 years, not 8 months. Maybe right. Not 10 years.
Absolutely.
I'm older, so I mean, in my mind, you know, it should last for a long time. You know, it should last for 8 months and then come out with a new phone. You know, I'm not old for crying out loud. I mean, but my mindset is back to an older time. Like, I appreciate antiques and stuff like that. So, but that's kind of what's happening. And I know exactly what Kat's saying.
But the thing is, too, like the original document. You know, the original, looking at the original document to something is like amazing to me. You know, it gives me chills. And when you find out some history or when you realize, you know, like one time I went in, this is weird, but you know, I work with abilities, you know, and for some odd reason, I was looking at this business down here and it showed that when I was looking at it, I said, wait a minute, this building had moved. So when I went to the Historic Society, I went in looking, and actually the whole building, they rebuilt, and it was moved over. Because when I was looking at, I know it seems bizarre, but to me, I was like, OMG. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, you're not going to find that on, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was actually their blueprint of what it used to look like, and then what they did. So it actually moved. It really moved.
Right. And they took it apart brick by brick and beam by beam, and then they rebuilt it at the new spot. That's how they did it.
At the new spot.
Right.
It was like a few inches over.
Right.
And it was, and it shows you. It totally shows you. So it's like, I know it sounds bizarre, but I thought that was like great, you know. But how would I have ever known that? There's not going to be any documents or blueprint, on your internet. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. So that's the reason why I'm passionate about, keeping them alive, keeping them open, keeping them. You know, people just go in there and look at things and see things because you have no clue. They have so much history and how land was before and how our Native Americans lived before and how beautiful our land was, lots of beautiful places. So, yeah, that's why I'm so passionate about that.
Kim, not to backtrack, but I know this is a family show. But you are able to say, "Oh my God!"
Oh, okay.
You do not need to say "OMG." just wanted to point that one out. I appreciate your discretion, but as far as I'm aware, it is okay to say the words in their full context.
Right.
So
just try not to drop the F-bomb and we're good. So
yes, that is not okay. Right. What do you think is the best way of going about finding where, cause I mean, Dave, you said that they just set it up in Chisago, the Chisago County in an old Victorian house.
Yep.
And it seems to be that they just kind of move depending on where somebody wants to actually host the historical society. So in what is the best way for people to find theirs? And if they have one for either of you, I guess.
That's all you.
That's
Kim.
All Kim.
I only know the Chisago one because we used it so frequently, but.
Well, I think Blue Earth County has one. So that's, towards the Mankato area. So Mankato, I think we have one, of course, and that helps all the counties that are around here. You just look it up. You just look up historic societies. They usually have them. I mean, it usually tells you in your city of commerce will tell you where it's at. It's not hard at all. Your courthouse will tell you if they have one. Your library will tell you if they have them. And remember that our historic societies only run from certain times of year. So like the early as the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, and then it stops at 1900s. And then from there, the 1900s, you go to your library or your courthouse. Because here at our courthouse, we can even pick up an abstract for a few dollars of anybody's property. You can pick up an abstract.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why I'm trying to say that you can totally utilize these sources and they're very, you'll actually get copies of real documents and stuff like that. So just letting you know. Yeah.
I would say that, and that's a great point. So I would say go to your Chamber of Commerce, so go to the Chamber of Commerce for your county and they will definitely point you in the right direction because that's what they're there for.
Exactly.
And to promote small business within the community, but
but
they're also there to keep the history of that county alive, that city,
correct.
Whatever.
I find it ironic that I have to look up on the internet where to go to not look up the history of of a place on the internet.
Well, you don't. You can go to your phone book. You don't have to go to the internet. You could go to your phone book and look up your Chamber of Commerce, or you could actually drive to your library and they can point you in the right direction.
Phone book?
Yeah. No, they still make phone books.
No, Nobody under 30 years old even knows what a phone book is.
Well, that's not my problem.
Also, in your downtown, the city of Commerce is right in your downtown. You know, your courthouse. You can't miss your courthouse. You know,
right.
So most courthouses are historical. Most, especially here in Minnesota. Minnesota has got amazing history, and it's just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Just letting you guys know. You know, I'm originally from California, so I'm so sorry. This city girl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never even knew about any of this, you guys, until I got here. You know, I never knew what we can utilize. And it wasn't, you know, to be truthful, it really wasn't as easy. I mean, maybe some historic societies out in California. But here, I mean, people are welcoming and they're very nice. And, you know, we have a great ladies who work at our historic society. And they're just amazing ladies. And they love to tell you stories, and that's the beauty of it, you know. So these girls were made for what they do, you know. So yeah,
sweet. So we're gonna go to break here real quick, and then we're gonna come back and discuss more about history and historical societies and why they are important for paranormal investigation. So you are listening to The Odyssey Files on Pair X. We'll be right back.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Pair X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
UFOs. People. Cryptids.
A lot of shit on the calling. Just think if you listen to the words of Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffee, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to The Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
And we're back. Boy, I had that really fun voice. I know. It happens sometimes. You're just going to have to give it to me.
Wow.
Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, we're back. I think. Yeah. So. Wow. I really got the mojo working tonight. That's for sure. You know, Dave, one of these days, I'm just going to be like, you know, give you the whole, like, the bullet thing, you know, like, go. And then I'm going to have you bring us back.
Absolutely. But you just ruined it because I said I was only going to say three more words and we already talked about it. Now
That was just a joke.
Oh, for crying out loud. We weren't going to do that. Now I'm being, all right, that's fine. Well, you pointed me, I'll bring us back. And I won't hit that high note, I guarantee it.
No, I don't think you could if you wanted to.
I don't think I wanted to. No. Not unless something fell in my crotch. That's the only way that's going to happen.
This is a family show, Dave.
I said crotch.
I know.
It's not part specific.
Anyways, getting back to the topic I had with our wonderful guest, yep. Ms. Kim Juarez from Cat Paranormal of Minnesota. Do I have to say of Minnesota like every time?
You know, no, you don't have to say that. I just want to make sure that we're in Minnesota. So that, yeah, we put that on the end cap because we're just originally from Minnesota. So you don't have to say that, though.
I was going to say, is that how you're
Cat
known?
Cat Paranormal.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I have to announce myself as, hey, my name's David Soiring from Chicago, Illinois. I mean, is that how we're not, are we going to start
introducing ourselves? I'm proud
of where I'm from. That
sounded like you were trying to like pick up a girl at the bar.
I know. I fell into that somehow. I wasn't really thinking about that. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. What was that?
Yeah. Even the voice, you're like, this is Dave Sorey from Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. I know. I caught myself at the end there. I'm like, what was that? Yeah. I got temporarily taken over by somebody.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, it happens.
Temporary and partial possession is okay as long as it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you can laugh about it, they're fine.
So, we're talking about history, obviously, and historical societies and how they relate to paranormal investigation. So, Kim, what I would like you to do is kind of just give some examples, whatever you can think of, where looking up the history and going into the history of whatever location you were at helped you in a case, whether it be to disprove something, whether it be to validate something, or whether it be to, you know, figure out what is going on. I would like you to share some examples with us.
Okay. So here's an example.
Okay, good.
This investigation. Sorry.
Seriously.
I know.
Kim, you're going to have to start over because like your microphone completely cut out during the first thing. So I can see your lips moving. And I'm like, great. This is a great story, Kim.
A great example. Seriously. I was like, wow.
You started out beautifully.
Oh my God, you had me captivated right from the beginning. So like on this investigation, this particular one that I was doing, the person that asked me to investigate, she kept hearing clicketing sounds like click, 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 you know, like click, 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 click. I mean, there was other things that she would see, shadow. She would see, you know, other stuff. So like I went into my historic society and we checked out because our streets run differently. So like our alleys used to be our front streets, like they were the original streets, our alleys. Now they've changed. I think this happened in, oh my God, I want to say in the 1900s, it's all changed. And they took out a lot of the brick off and they were just dirt, of course. So when I went to check this out, you know, it happened to be a livery, which is where a stable for horses.
Yep.
So she was hearing sounds. She didn't even know it was a livery way past in the 1800s. And that's what I'm guessing this clicketing sound was the horses she would hear. And she, because she can hear them at night, like in her office when it was late. And she kept thinking it was like a dog, but she kept saying click, 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 click. And when we were looking it up, you know, at the Historic Society, we were like, oh my God, no wonder she kept hearing the click, 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 you know. Do you guys get it? Like the hooves, you know, where they...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they were...
I don't mean to brag, but I'm going to anyway. When you did that sound effect, that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, it sounds like horses.
Right, exactly.
That popped into my head. Kind of sounded like you were doing click, click. Was like a typewriter.
Oh,
like
okay,
an old keystroke, like click, 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 you know, as you were typing.
But we were, so we, what happened, you know, I went to the Historic Society and we found out that it was the library for years. You know, we didn't know that. I didn't have a clue, you know, and that's your history. That's part of the history that this, you know, place was. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, so that's one example, you know, of things, you know, just saying. I thought it was cool though. I really did. I was really proud of it. Thank you to my Historic Society. So, yes.
Another example, Kim. Please.
Another example.
Please, Kim, may I have another?
Well, you know, my house, of course. Here's my house. I have a beautiful abstract. Lots of history. This house was built in 1923. I thought to myself, okay, this is different, like I said. So I went to my Historic Society. I asked her, how did this run? Like, what was this before? And so we looked up old maps, okay? And, you know, it shows all your little restaurants and shows all your little bakeries and all your little, you know, what was in the, 1892 or 18, whatever. Anyways, it shows like there's a dwelling, but there was no house here. There was no house here. And there apparently there was two. And I live like in a parking lot area. My house is like the only house that's on that block, on this block. But one of the houses was knocked down. And this house apparently was, you know, an old house or whatnot. So then I looked up the history and I found out the person who plotted this first land was one of the old, you know, settlers that came here, and he had this land. And then his name was Iotobridge, and then he used to own this house. So it was probably one of the nice, fancier houses because it had a coal chute, it has a well area, it has, you know, in my basement, of course. So yeah, again, where did I find that out? At my Historic Society. I checked it out. Even I didn't even have this extra office that I have that I'm sitting at right now. It was a green room. And the last family who was here, they made it for their mom so she can have her plants. But it's actually the entryway of the front door, how the alleys used to run, that used to be the front, you know, front doors, you know. So I didn't even know that. You know, so I learned that through my Historic Society. So, yeah, that's an example. Any more examples?
Well, I was kind of thinking when you said green room, I kind of jumped right into like Johnny Carson, like where they'd be back there having cocktails, smoking away until they got to come out on stage. You know, like that's the green room. But I know what you're saying now.
Right.
Almost like a greenhouse space for their mom.
Right.
Where she could like grow her stuff and a lot of sun and warmth and stuff like that.
Yeah. And we didn't, at first, when we first came to the house, we didn't even know. And, you know, my house has some kind of haunted stuff going on. And the first day I moved into this house, you know, my mom said, you know, you guys should stay in it by yourselves. Don't take the kids with you so you can enjoy that you have this beautiful house now. And I think it's cute. It's a cute small house. And probably back then in the 1800s, probably a well-to-do house. But we have like wood stuff and wood trim. And so we went upstairs and the first thing I kept hearing, which, yeah, it could have been our basement or whatnot, but I heard sounds, I heard footsteps. I couldn't even sleep the first week here. It was really bad. So, yeah, so we looked up a lot of the history here at the house and we found out a lot of cool little stuff, which, you know, we didn't even know, you know, that it was even just a dwelling. So I'm assuming, you know, because the libraries were like in this area, I'm assuming maybe it was even part of the libraries, you know, as well. So I know there was quite a few of them here in the downtown for the store, you know, for carriages and stuff for the, you know, the well-to-do people here. So back in time, you know. So, and that's what I learned at my Historic Society. So
I just got to ask you, you don't have like the coffin maker's house, do you?
I hope not.
Because you know, if you go back and look at the, Western type of things, right? So the liveries, you know, they, for the horses, they'd have a blacksmith right there, so he could shoe the horses and make the, you know, he would be right there with them. And then the coffin maker, it was all of the people that had a talent that didn't, they didn't want, like, where the saloon was and where the general store was and where, you know, maybe like the restaurant was. And so they put like those blue collar type of things all together, kind of back. They were in town, but they were kind of back away from the main town usually.
That's true. I never thought of it that way. But, you know, this town, Waseca, has a lot of really crazy history. Like, they had 4 hotels back in the 1800s. Like,
that's a lot.
We only have 2 now.
That's a lot.
So it was so populated here. And then the whole train station, I mean, that's a whole history on its own. And I've done the train station here. Now it's called Cass Cuts, but I had done an investigation there. She doesn't care if I say it because it's enriched with history. It's so much history. Now the train station and what used to be the market is now a Miller Armstrong building, and they have a restaurant in there, and they have a bar in there. They have event centers because they're really big. You know, they used to be warehouses for groceries when the train stopped by. So, yeah. So that's part of your history. That's what I learned. You know, I went to the Historic Society and learned all about that. You know, we even have, like, even at the Historic Society, they have books that people write from that write back in, you know, the founders and stuff like that. So you can look at old histories and things that how, like, even when people died, there's a book with all that information, all your cemeteries, all your, you know, different stores and different places and different markets and different bars. I mean, the bars itself are very haunted. And there's even a bar here that has an old bank vault, which is pretty amazing. So I keep asking them if I could do the investigation, but they say they said no, but one of these days I'll get it. I know I will.
So, just wear them down, Kim. Just wear them down.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Just keep on them.
It's not even that. It's just that they have great history, you know. And, I mean, wouldn't you want to know if anything was lingering around or if you see shadows and people and you're like, you know, it's just great history. You know what I mean? It used to be an old bank, you know. And, you know, it's funny. I've done a lot of businesses. Yes, Waseca, I'm saying it right now. I've done a lot of businesses and I've done a lot of private investigations. This town is haunted, very haunted. So, yeah. That's it.
I'm moving down there. Because Woodbury, not so haunted. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Woodbury is not so haunted. Nope.
I just think that some areas are more active than others, you know, and it's the time of seasons, your years, you know, it's the times, you know, and like right now, fall, of course, I feel like it's really, you know, the whole earth changes and everything, you know, so fall really attracts spirits.
Well, it's Harvest Moon, you know. Harvest Moon is coming up. So if you're living in an old town that relied on bringing the crops in from the field, that the Harvest Moon was the celebratory time when everybody was helping everybody else get their crops in before the first frost came or early winter came and killed everything, you know, so they could get stuff out of the field that they've been working so hard all year to grow. And then they had a big party. Right. I'm sure a few people got shot. Right, because they were like drinking corn liquor and, you know, woo, boom, boom, you know, and accidentally somebody lowered their pistol and, you know, wasn't very careful. And
yeah.
What do you think of that, Mike?
Exactly.
Chances are it probably would have been me that got shot.
It might have been.
More.
I don't know.
I think one of the things, Kim, I'd like to ask you about this, because you have done it far, far more than me. And so one of the things I think a lot of people are worried about and why they go on Google and why they stay on the internet instead of going down to the Historical Society or the Chamber of Commerce or the courthouse is time consumption. You know, a lot of people think that looking up all these documents and trying to find what they're looking for is like a needle in a haystack. For the cases that you do go in and you find the history for, how much time do you usually spend before you kind of just find what you feel you're looking for?
Okay, to be truthful, I am not internet savvy. So I can look up stuff and I could be on the internet, to be truthful, for hours. I just walk over to my, you know, which is the beauty of this. I'm only two blocks down from my historic society. I just walk on over. I just ask for if I need to know anything about the hotels. They have a file of the hotels. If I need a file of fires, they just have that file for fires. You know, and then, you know, and I look in through it, you know. I don't know. I just really like reading articles, and I guess I'm just that type of person. I don't read a lot of books, but I love to read articles, and I love to read the paper, and I love to read, you know, stuff like that, and look at different things. And they have it. They have it there for you. You know, they even tell you, okay, so you want to learn about your Native Americans? You know, ours were the Winnebagoes. So they have a book on just about the Winnebagoes. You know what I mean? So it doesn't take much at all, to be truthful. You know, it's probably about the same when you're trying to get your internet to work and you're trying to be like, oh, damn, this is not working again. It's going so slow. You know, you got to think about it like that. So I think it works great for me. I don't know. I like it. You know, but then again, I'm an old history buff and I love history, and that's what it's all about. So I'm just not a paranormal investigator or a so-called ghost hunter. I am a history person, and I do love looking at history. So, yeah.
So I'm going to back that up with this statement. If it takes you an hour to find what you're looking for, right? So just to give it a time frame. So you're there for an hour, you find what you're looking for. The thing that I love is the thing that you find is 100% accurate. You can spend an hour on the internet and look through thousands of web pages, and you have no clue what is the truth, what is fiction, what somebody thought would be funny. You have no idea whatsoever what page is legitimate. That's what I hate about doing research online.
Exactly.
You never know what's real.
Well, you know, like, you know, looking up death and looking up stuff like that, you know, that's the truth. You don't know if it's real or not, you know, you can't find any of that. So if I go and I say, I'm looking up someone who passed away in 18 something, is there any article? Yep, they'll bring out the paper thing. You know, you can go through those at that year.
Yep.
It's great. And you spend an hour, you'll learn more in that 1 hour when you're searching. I'm not kidding. I learned so much about my town, you know, and I know my town, you know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, I've lived here for years, and I, you know, picked up that book the Child's book. It's someone by the last name Childs wrote all the history of the first settlers. It's an amazing book. You know, it tells you how this little girl went out to help her mama because it's snowing, blizzarding. And so she goes between two farms. That's all it took, was two farms. She died right then and there in a blizzard. You know what I mean? It's just things like that. You know, our cemeteries, we even had this place called Walton Town. And I didn't even know there was even a little town, you know, called Walton. And they had, you know, a church, and they had a cemetery, and they had all these different things. You know, it's just historic society is amazing. It tells you so much, and you can look up so much, and you learn so much. So yeah, so I just like, you just learn. That's all you're doing. And you're right, Dave, totally right. Absolutely. You cannot find the truth on the internet sometimes, you know, and it's hard to find or to research anything, to be truthful. So yeah, I don't know how you do it, Mike, but that's how I do it, you know? So yeah.
I just automatically know everything. So
I know the answer to that on how Mike researches. But that's only for the show, Dave. Because we're focusing on Kim.
Only for the show, Dave. But only for the show.
But you know what's cool, too? Is I can get original document. So, like, if I want an original document on my file, I actually have files, not only on my computer, but I actually have files that are actually, like, if I've done the courthouse here in Waseca. So I have a file on the courthouse, and I have original documents. I have, you know, pictures and what the courthouse looks like and my EVPs, because it is handwritten out. You know, I know everybody does it on the computer, but I handwritten mine's old school, you know, because that's the way I go.
I handwrite mine. Do you really? I don't use my computer for that. I handwrite all awesome. Mine. So, yeah.
Mike, how do you do yours?
Computer.
How do I do mine? What?
Your EVP work and all your video stuff. Do you handwrite everything?
I do now. Okay. When I first started, I did it all on the computer. You know, I would bring up a word processor file, and then I'd play it, and then I'd, because I just, my handwriting is awful, and I just wanted a very clean cut, easy to read document. But when I first started, you know, the Odyssey Paranormal Society, you know, and I would see how Dave would do it. Because anytime, obviously, when he was over here and he would help me with audio review, he'd give me this long thing and I could barely understand what he was writing. But he didn't have to stop like I did. You know, he wrote it down as it was going on. And I'm like, well, that flows a lot better than right. what I do. Because I would have to stop the audio, bring up that screen, type it out. Maybe go back and listen to it, bring it back. I mean, so it would take like 3-4 minutes per EVP instead of just, okay, and then I was done. You know, right. if I just wrote it down, sometimes I don't even have to really even stop the clip. So I do now. In fact, I've got pages and pages of just handwritten stuff, you know, sitting here on my desk that I have to reorganize. But yeah, I do now. I do handwrite. Now,
do you know that I have to say this too, and your historic society too, they have a file on just haunted places and haunted things that happen to people too as well. So, which is, I haven't looked at it yet. I haven't looked at ours because I'm learning, and I think one day I'm just gonna go there and say, this is the time I'm gonna learn what was haunted and see how many places I knew that were haunted. So I'm hoping for that. You know, she did tell me there is one file, nice little chunky file of haunted places here in Waseca. So, yeah.
Nice. So Kim, yeah. Really, really quick, cause we only have about a minute and a half left. Information on tomorrow, where they need to go, time, and kind of a brief overview of what they can expect to have if they want to, join in tomorrow.
So it's at the Waseca County Historic Society, and they're hosting a story swap, and it's the paranormal of the paranormal kind. And they want to see if people will come out and share stories, and it's for members and non-members. So if you're a non-member, you pay $5, which is no big deal, you know, and you, which goes to Historic Society, of course. And then it's going to be at the historic, it's going to be at the museum, which is right across the street from the Bailey Lure House. And then we did the investigation, so we're also going to do the reveal on that, which we do have a nice little chunk of good evidence. So we're pretty excited about that.
That's worth $5 right there.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. All right. Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you coming on.
Yes.
And talking about my apologies for any of the crap I gave you tonight, as always. it's done out of sheer love and adoration for what you do. Oh, don't shake your head, Dave. So
no, there was something flying around. I was just trying to get
right,
it away.
No, that's I understand. Yeah. Trying to get it out of there.
Yeah.
But serious, thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you coming on.
No, okay. Thank you guys too, because thank you for letting people aware of that. So there you go.
Absolutely. It's a great cause. There's just a really, really long bout of silence there. That does it for us here tonight on the Odyssey Files. We shall be back next week with what I hope to be a phenomenal guest. I'm just waiting for the confirmation. So until next week, for Dave and myself, everybody have a good evening.